Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
With 50% less vomit. It's 34 seconds after the hour of 12, and this is the month of May in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show. We thank you for coming along today. It is Thursday. It's 503-733-2970, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. 503-733-2970. You can also email us if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. And he wasn't just talking about the kid. This is the phrase he used. This zany DJ, who worked for Clear Channel, by the way.
Yeah.
Explains a whole lot of things. He actually said, he used the phrase, "I disrespect your seed." Use of the word seed is unpleasant in all contexts.
Unless it's gardening.
I'm just saying.
Seed is like the word panties. Which is more of an irritation, I think, to Sarah than to me. But you know what? A word we can all agree on the unpleasantness of is moist. Moist is a bad word. No cause to be used on that.
Well, in any event.
It's 503-7... No one knows what we're talking about. 503-733-2970. We'll get to it. 503-733-2970. If you want to email today, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. After long, lengthy, and laborious conversations with the engineering department here yesterday, they assure me now. I have been given the utmost of assurances. They have... I've got emails. Lengthy, long emails today. They give me their solemn word. They have given me their oath as men. That 970.am now works both as a website and as an email address. We'll see.
I tried it last night and it worked.
Yeah. It's one of those things. The problem with this is the 970.am, because like one day my email address was something, and then the next day was something else, and it just got changed without me knowing about it. And so they changed my email address here to rick@970.am. But then the problem is, like, nobody ever bothered to tell the rest of the people in the company about that, so nobody ever turned the email address on. And so everybody across, I was just supposed to be getting all these emails. People would send me stuff, and that's a problem that you never know exists by definition, because you don't know on your end.
I was expecting something from Andy Rooney that never got here.
Well, it's like if the ringer on your phone was broken, how would you know? You wouldn't know. If the phone just wouldn't ring, you'd just think you'd become unpopular.
That happened to me all last year.
That's
from like April 22nd to...
Yes, sir. A long 11 months where I was waiting for people to contact me about employment.
I used to shake that thing and it didn't work.
You know what it's like? Like, I remember when I was a kid, we had the phone with the actual, like, the bell inside of it. Uh-huh. The bell and the thing that hits the bell. Whatever that thing is called. The knocker. The wacky thing.
Clanger.
The clanger. And it was broken for, like, 3 days, and we just thought nobody liked us. That was probably also the case, but how would you know? So, my email address, somebody would email me something, it would bounce back. And here's the worst part about working in radio. And that is a bold statement. But this is one of the worst parts about working in radio is, for the last few days, I'm not talking about my Rick at Rick Emerson. I'm talking about this alleged business email address that I, for all the hardcore, for all the heavy-duty intellectual lifting that I do the rest of the day. I'm not on the air here. Which basically consists of repelling spam from people who want to book uninteresting guests on the radio program. People who have never heard the station, don't know anything about it. Would you like to have a gardening expert on the... Would you like to have someone to come on to talk about crop rotations? You know, someone who has no idea what the radio station's about. They have no idea what we do. Anyway, so I have this other email address, rick@970.am. And it just didn't work.
Does that mean Tim and I have it, too?
You have it, too. Sarah, and send Sarah something right now. sarah@970.am.
Really?
Yeah.
How do I even check that?
That's what I'm saying. They never told anybody about it. So they gave... Here's the other thing that happened. Now, we do have actual stuff to get to, but I just got to note this. So here's the other thing that happened. So you know how when you send out an email or, whatever, there is like a default embedded reply to address, right? You send somebody an email and there's a little thing. It's like somebody replies to you and it comes right back. Well, somehow, like, way up in the company, they changed. They just reached into my computer from across, whatever, from across the network, and they changed my reply to address to become Rick at 970.am, which would have been all well and good if only that address worked or functioned or operated properly in any way. It did not. So for like 3, 4, 5, 6 days, people in the company, managers, people in the legal department, people at various networks trying to email me stuff just bounces back. You know, dear Rick at 970.am. And then it comes back like 5 seconds later. No such recipient. And so the very worst part is this. Because I work in a notoriously unstable industry, they never bothered to call, try an alternate email address, look on the website. They just assumed I was fired. So I never found. So like 5 days go by. I have no idea that the email address isn't working because no one ever bothered to tell me. They just scratched me off the list. Well, Rick Emerson, no longer with the firm. That's what happens in radio. If someone tries to email you and the email just bounces back and it isn't working, everybody just assumes you've been liquidated. That's what it is. They figure you're on the breadline and your job's been given to, you know, some other guy, whoever's next in line. They figure they've made the intern the program director. So for like 6 days, I had no idea that the email address wasn't working. Doesn't matter to anything. I'm just saying. So, but they assure me that that problem is solved. So I guess that means that 970.am, the website, it's all well and good. It should be stable, should be working. So there you go. 970.am is now where the website for this very fine radio station, AM 970 Solid State Radio. We are located at 970.am online. You can also email us for whatever reason. I mean, if you really feel like you want to, if you want to set yourself apart and be different, you can send me something. It's Rick at 970.am. I'll probably never see it. Just come right back to you. But if you feel like boomeranging some stuff, you go ahead and do that. Here's what's coming up today. Jen Lane's going to be in the house from Barfly Magazine. We've got a horrifying news story. Now, normally when I say we've got a horrifying news story, it involves teeth being broken off somewhere. It involves something really large being shoved into something really small. It involves a medical implement being left inside your body. It involves a tapeworm nesting in some part of your brain. Today's news story involves it's a brand new part of the body. Quite frequently, there's a penis involved. Not today. Not yet, anyway. It is only 12:06. I have a brand new, right here, a brand new story. This is a brand new part of the body for us to defile on this program. You want to be listening to that. Get an aspirin handy. What else? Rednecks and nitwits are on the march, and Ed McCarthy is there. Let's see. What else? Oh, we got a great song. You're not going to be in a new segment. I think we're just going to call Doing Their Job for Them. We've got a great song. You're not going to hear anywhere else on the radio. It's just up to us. And, luggage made of human skin. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fine.
How's the hurling?
It's gone.
It's all fine. It's all good. Food is...
Went to Coin this morning. All was good.
Can we just say what nobody else is willing to say? Jeff Hunter... Now, he doesn't work at Coin proper, right? He works at Metro Traffic.
He works for Metro Network.
All right. He is sort of a liaison between you and Coin.
Well, actually,
or
I don't actually work for Coin. I work for Metro Network.
But in Coin.
He's a subcontractor.
Yeah.
So Metro is they're sort of the...
So Metro gives me my paycheck.
All right. So Coin says we need somebody to handle traffic. Metro sort of finds somebody.
They kind of outsource
we can get somebody for you really cheap.
So Metro is sort of the sweatshop to Coin's Kathy Lee.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't say that. But let's say this. Let's say what everyone's thinking, but everyone is too polite to mention. Jeff Hunter from Metro is Q from Star Trek: The Next Generation. You know it's true. Next time you talk to him, just picture him saying, you know, "Bonjour, mon capitaine." And is there a Jean-Luc Picard here?
He kind of looks like him.
It's true. John Delancey, all over that guy. Ladies and gentlemen, at the City Desk, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley, working on the following stories today.
It's time to be afraid. The government may be listening to your phone calls, looking for terrorists. David Blaine will hold his breath again. There's no Tom Cruise story today, just a report of Jessica Simpson wanting to adopt. And a Florida woman fights off an alligator with a garden hose.
Fantastic. So that's all on the way. This is normally the part of the program when I talk about what I did last night in the 21 hours between when we last spoke and now, but I honestly can't remember.
Oh,
I don't know. It's all, I'm sure I did something. I'm sure I engaged in some sort of wacky activity last night. I just don't even know what it would be. I went home. I laid on the sofa. I ate some cheese. I went to bed, and here I am. I didn't even play. Here's the really weird thing about, oh, this is what I did. I went home and I watched the trailer for Halo 3. That's what I did. That's the one thing I can remember doing last night. I was sitting down. That was the highlight of my day. I got to do radio program, work, paperwork. Doesn't matter. I got to get home so I can watch the trailer for Halo 3 at maximum so I can turn up a subwoofer as loud as it'll go. The Halo 3 trailer looks fantastic. Many people sent that to me last night. It's coming to 2007 from the fine folks at Bungie Entertainment. So, that's going to be the thing that'll force me to buy that Xbox 360. And I knew it. I knew that they would do it. I knew that they would screw me into buying the upgrade for the Xbox just to play Halo 3. So, thankfully, it didn't come out till next year. And I'll do that. I'm not even done playing that black game that I bought. And I actually feel guilt about it. This is how messed up I am in my head. That I go home and I'm sitting there on the couch, and I'm trying to. I'm working my way through the DVD for All the Presidents Men. There's a 2-disc set that came out. I'm a completist, so I'm working my way through all the bonus features. And yet, looking on the ground, seeing this Xbox game black sitting there, and I'm feeling bad. Actually, feeling actual real Catholic guilt that I'm not finishing the Xbox game. Being an American is hard. Ladies and gentlemen, at the city desk, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
Yep.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. We begin our report during this noontime hour with Democracy on the March.
Here's Rick Emerson's Democracy on the March.
The National Security Agency has been secretly collecting the phone records of tens of millions of Americans using data provided by AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South.
Provided by who?
AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South.
Okay, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The NSA program reaches into homes and businesses across the nation by amassing information about the calls of ordinary Americans, most of whom aren't suspected of any crime at all. The program does not involve the NSA listening to or recording conversations, but
sure,
the spy agency is using the data to analyze calling patterns in an effort to detect terrorist activity.
Here's the thing. I forget who said this. This idea that you've got the privacy, I don't mean to sound all conspiratorial about it. I don't mean to sound paranoid, but I am a realist about these things. Mm-hmm. People talk about losing their privacy. I'm losing all my privacy. You don't have any privacy. All you are losing is the illusion. Illusions, Michael. All you are losing is the illusion that you have privacy. And I don't mean to sound like a whack job. I don't mean to sound like a tinfoil hat, Art Bell kind of guy. It had nothing to do with that at all. Just sort of realize that everything you do is monitored and watched everywhere at all times. You don't even have to believe in government and intervention to believe that. Didn't we have the story a while back that the average day you appear on like 500 cameras?
Yes.
Because everybody's got a camera everywhere. Doesn't matter. Every time you walk into a building, every time you walk by an ATM, every time you come within spitting distance of a bank, you're on a camera somewhere. Every time you send an instant message, an email, every time you you post to a blog, every time you make a phone call, there's a record of that somewhere. So this idea that somehow I had all this illusion and they've taken away my innocence, that's a bunch of crap.
Well, it means that the government has to tail records of the calls you made across town, across the country, to family members, coworkers, business contacts, the court of butcher, the church of your choice, and others. The three telecommunications companies are working under contract with the NSA while launching the program in 2001, shortly after 9/11. The program is aimed at identifying and tracking suspected terrorists. The sources would talk only under a guarantee of, well, they don't have to say who they are.
All right, so there you go. So who was that, AT&T, Verizon, and who?
Bell South. But I get singular, so I don't have to worry.
Yes, you and Paris Hilton are fine. Working under contract with the National Security Agency, just so you are aware of that fact. And by the way,
yes.
I'm just saying this is a personal opinion. I don't have any evidence to back this up. This is simply a suspicion. This is a supposition,
yes,
being made by the Rick Emerson Show. They're listening to. You know it's true. You know in your black little heart that it's true. Doesn't matter. And wasn't it Clyde? who said one time that there's, if you're on the phone and you say something like, you know, cocaine, you know, terrorism, that there's like some, it trips, it turns on.
The wheels of this giant computer start going in this white room?
Exactly. There's like a huge ENIAC-looking computer somewhere that just, and just
somebody
starts,
pushes the red button, goes to the appropriate authorities.
Seriously, some huge Rube Goldberg-esque computer just begins creating a dossier with your name on it. Did you know this?
Yes.
I know, I don't mean to make this start sounding all crazy all the time. Did you know, though, that you can send away for your own government, like the file on you? There is a government file on you, most likely, and you can send away for it.
How much does it cost?
I think it's free. I think it's under the Freedom of Information Act. So you, Tim Riley, could send away and see what the government has in a file on you.
That'd
creepiest, I know somebody who did it, just some average guy. He wasn't a politician. He wasn't a radical. He was just some dude. He was like a car dealer. And just out of curiosity, he sent away to see the government's file on him, and he came back, and the best part, it was like half of it was all blacked out. He couldn't even know what
like
it was.
Like the Kennedy assassination.
Yes, or the Foxworth thing.
The president says he's doing everything within the law to protect you.
Okay.
The government does not listen to domestic phone calls without court approval. The intelligence activities I authorized are lawful and have been briefed to appropriate members of Congress, both Republican and Democrat.
War is peace.
This is about collecting information about Al-Qaeda.
The privacy of ordinary Americans is fiercely protected in all our activities. We're not mining or trolling through the personal lives of millions of innocent Americans.
All evidence to the contrary.
Meanwhile, Ted Kennedy says what the president is doing is illegal.
They are mining individuals.
Yeah.
We're not charged with anything, are completely innocent, not suspected of anything, and that is a basic and fundamental violation of their privacy, which is protected under the Fourth Amendment.
So I don't understand. So they're not, but they claim that they're not listening. They're just doing what? They're just tracking who we call and when?
Yeah, if we're talking to Al-Qaeda. Tens of millions of us.
I wouldn't even know how to find Al-Qaeda.
They're not in the yellow pages.
All right. And we've talked about this before. I couldn't find... Would you even know how to find criminals if you wanted to start talking with
them? I don't know what type of conversation I would have with them.
What is it? What are you going to talk to Al-Qaeda about? What do you share draping cleaning tips? It's like we were talking about methamphetamine that day. I'm not asking to buy methamphetamine, understand, but I'm just saying I wouldn't even know where to do it. I wouldn't even know how to strike up a conversation like that. I have nothing. All right, well, whatever. All right, is that...
That is democracy on the
march. There's democracy on the march for Thursday. All right, so Sarah Dillon is actually going through her Sarah at 970.am mail account right now.
And I just got an email from somebody who made a fake magazine cover called Portland Lifestyle.
All right, now you have been working here now since March something or other, middle of March.
Yeah.
Is this the first time you've checked your company email?
Yes.
All right. How many?
I have all these things like, we want to sponsor Band-Aid. I'm like, oh, God, I'm sorry.
We want to sponsor Band-Aid in March 15th.
No, it was from like a month ago.
And is it like the follow-up email? Like, well, I guess you don't want to have Band-Aid sponsored, Little Miss Thing.
I know. I just wrote back, I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Little Miss Too Good to answer her email. Yeah, you got it. Tim, do you check your company email?
I do.
Okay.
No, he doesn't.
I do.
How often? When's the last time you checked your company email?
Today, as a matter of fact.
See?
Before today?
Yes. Before today.
Okay, see, that's something you got to answer. You never know what's in there. There could be offers for all kinds of things.
Somebody made a magazine cover, and it says, Portland's newest media mogul, Sarah Dillon, inherits fortune from mysterious source and is set to buy CBS in the Coin Building. Tim Riley named his new network anchor.
Oh, that's good.
Rick Emerson receives yearly pay increase of $73.
Oh, I see. Is there any Photoshop that they've done?
Sure,
you got to put that on your site. All right.
I have a copy of that?
All right.
Just in case it ever happens.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, let's go round up some illegal aliens, shall we? With Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio. So far, he's rounded up 150 of them, and nothing is going to stop him from doing so.
I'm not a federal agent anymore. I'm the elected sheriff. I'm enforcing a new state law, the only law enforcement agency doing it. I'm going to continue to do it.
It's called Joe's Law. You will all live underneath it.
So what's he going to do with all these illegal aliens? Well, he's got plenty of space and tents to put them in.
A lot of desert out here. So we have almost 2,000 right now. I'll put 10,000 if I have to.
That's fine. Isn't he the same guy First of all, anytime a guy, where is this? Arizona?
Arizona, yeah.
Anytime a guy in Arizona or Nevada, for that matter, starts using phrases like there's a lot of desert out here, it means it's usually because you've crossed the mafia in some way, and they've got you in a back room sweating you, trying to find out how you and your buddy were beating the blackjack table, and they're threatening to kill you and put you in a hole where only the coyotes will find your sun-bleached bones many decades in the future.
Or somebody doesn't like what you do at Disneyland.
Yeah, that also
same
as well.
Thing.
So, isn't he the same guy?
Yes.
Isn't he the same nutcase sheriff that we read about? Every so often, where he's like putting people in tents and feeding them gruel.
Chain gangs and make them wear purple underwear.
Yeah, and this is the country is full of these attention whoring public servants, and you know the ones I'm talking about. And you always read these in the kooky news columns, and it's always like some judge, right? And some judge is like, what happened? Well, there was a guy who got brought in because he had a nickel bag or something. And they found a joint in his glove box. And so they'll bring him in, and the judge, who just doesn't get enough thrill out of wielding a huge amount of power and who clearly is sexually unsatisfied in some way, will try to satiate his lacking masculinity by taking some and making him do something stupid, like wearing a tutu and dance around on a street corner wearing a sign saying, I am filled with shame. It's always some weird, bizarre sentence that they do to try to get their names on the media. And that's what this guy in Arizona is doing, too. So is he just going around with a truck and a gun?
No, he's got a posse. He's rounding them up like in the Old West.
How does one join a posse? How does one become a posse member?
I guess he accepts applications. Go to his website.
This whole country is just... Yeah, all right. Whatever.
Say, remember the guy who drove his SUV through the Tigard Bank the other day?
Boy, do I ever.
Well, apparently, this fellow named Peter Bibick has a history of mental illness. His last two known addresses were mental health clinics. The 39-year-old appeared without a lawyer yesterday. When pressed to speak, Bibick blurted out, quote, there is no fear in love, unquote.
That's fantastic.
Corrections officials say Bibick was destructive in his holding cell the previous evening, actually cracking a window with his bare hands. He broke a holding cell window last night with his fist when he came in, so they're concerned that he might harm himself. Bibick faces about a half dozen charges, including felony assault and burglary. As for the motive behind the rampage, investigators say Bibick may have been a disgruntled Wells Fargo customer.
All right, there you go. Attention, Scott Dadley. Be more polite.
Kratzenberger Middle School in Gladstone closed this morning because of a threatening graffiti message found outside the school. They sent all the kids home on buses at 8:30.
What was the name of the school?
Kratzenberger Middle School.
All right.
Yeah.
And it's closed because of why?
Some threatening graffiti.
Whatever. Did you read that thing the other day about some kid that got kicked out of school because he was... Didn't everybody... Look, here's a truism. Doesn't everybody, when they're in school, sing some sort of horrific bloodbath song about the teacher?
No, we don't.
Didn't you do that when you were a kid? You sang some...
No.
No.
Have I crossed the line?
I believe so.
Didn't you sing songs about killing school teachers?
No.
Oh. Me neither. Never mind. I was going to bring...
That began in the 90s. It is a 90s phenomenon. Oh, so we thought.
Came with the advent of rap music.
I guess somebody had to start it.
Well, never mind. I was going to do this whole little riff here.
Go right ahead.
No, it seems like it's ill-advised now.
The kids are waiting.
Kids don't kill teachers. It's wrong. All I'm saying is...
Leave them cookies with laxity.
That's Tim Riley who said that.
You what?
I don't know.
Okay.
There was this story I was going to reference. It's all gone to hell now. I was going to reference this story about some kid somewhere. I think he was in Idaho, where life is cheap. And they kicked him out of school because he was wandering around the hallways singing some song to the tune of some other song, but it had some lyric about shooting his teacher in the face. Now, clearly, it's wrong to shoot teachers in the face. That is not a responsible and mature way to deal with any of your issues. Mm-hmm. I was just going to do this whole little remember when kind of rant about how as a child, when I was going to school, there were many songs about killing teachers that we would sing heartily and with gusto. And
like
I was going to say,
beer hall type sing-along.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was often to the tune of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I was going to say, who among us has not sung a jaunty little ditty about murdering one's teacher to the Battle Hymn of the Republic?
You're the only one with their hand up.
That's why this little observation is now coming to an end. It was ill-advised, and I am now so noting here on the Rick Emerson Show. Let's break now. Thank you. That's fantastic. Hey, coming up, Lisa Goddard's going to be here. We'll be talking about George Bush. George Bush, who now has a lower approval rating than Tom Cruise, as somebody noted this morning. And George Bush's attempts to drive his approval rating even lower. We'll find out what he's doing about that. Later on, a horrifying story involving a brand new body part. We've also got, what else? We got Ed McCarthy coming up. Later on, Jen Lane. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. You stay there. Music is making me feel weird.
Yeah, why did you pick this?
I don't know. Give me flashbacks and a hangover all at once. All right. So Rick Emerson Show, thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. It's kind of making me feel nauseous.
Mm-hmm.
It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let's make room for Lisa Goddard, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill, as they say, in Washington, D.C. Lisa Goddard, how are you?
Hello. I'm doing well. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing fantastically is how I'm doing. You know why?
I don't.
Okay, because I am neither Tom Cruise nor George Bush today. and we were talking, I was making this observation earlier, that their approval ratings are now lingering in about the same area. And
oh, man, I didn't know that.
It's true, except that Tom Cruise, and I was not the first one to make this observation, by the way. I'm like the 500th guy to make this kooky, comment. But I believe Cruise actually has, listen to this now. The survey found that 35% of people have a favorable opinion of Tom Cruise, which I believe is 4 points higher than George Bush. And if I did not know better, if I were not such a wise person, I would say that George Bush seems to be actively trying to drive his approval rating down because, I don't really know, but Michael Hayden, who he is... Michael Hayden, let's make sure I'm right about this. He is the guy that has sort of been tapped to head the CIA, correct?
That's right.
Now, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I read this incorrectly. But was Michael Hayden not the guy who was sort of behind this big, expansive wiretapping debacle that was going on a couple months back?
Now, it depends on what you mean by behind. He did run it. But it's not clear that it was his idea or if he was taking orders. And, of course, some people say it doesn't matter. But we don't know precisely if he was the architect of it. It doesn't sound like he was, but definitely he was involved in running it.
It just seems like if you were going to pick a guy to reinstate public trust in the, you know, elected officials and especially the CIA, because there's, and I don't wish to traffic in gossip, rumor, speculation, hearsay, and innuendo, Lisa, but especially if you believe any of the reasons that they've been bandying about for Porter Goss's sudden departure, it doesn't necessarily seem like you'd want to pick a guy who kind of comes with all this horrific baggage.
You know, you have to figure that the White House, at least on one hand, was looking at it. Let's see where our strengths are. Obviously, they feel very strong about the Pentagon. They feel like there are some very strong figures there, and the Pentagon's had a very strong influence on the White House. And then on the other hand, the CIA, everyone agrees, really has some serious problems, that there is generally low morale, that it is not as well organized as it used to be, that a lot of the reforms that Porter Goss put into place have caused more problems. And so you have several layers of issues at the CIA. And so what they want is someone to go in, clean it up, and really put in some lines of order and discipline again over at the CIA. So their go-to guy is Michael Hayden, who is very well respected in Washington, very well liked. He's amiable. But the fact is that, first of all, he is still in uniform. And second of all, he had a huge role in this NSA wiretap program. And then, boom, today, just as his nomination was starting to get back on the right track, starting to look like it was going to happen, we had this USA Today story about potentially tens of millions of phone records, all of our phone calls, that apparently the NSA has been keeping track of, according to this report. And that has just been like a bowling ball to the gut of this nomination right now.
It just seems like, correct me if I'm wrong now, is it that the NSA, because there used to be some division where one of them spied on Americans and one of them spied on people who weren't Americans. There was some sort of...
The issue is that the NSA does have the ability to spy on people outside of this country, but the NSA wiretap program, what it does is it as we're told, we know, we don't really know the details, but reports have indicated that what it does, and President Bush has said, is that it takes phone calls coming from out of the country that go to people in this country. So one end of the phone call is from a foreign source, the other end is here in America. But that still is spying on someone that's here in this country, and that's what a lot of people have problems with. Other people say, no, listen, if they're trying to protect me, I want them to do everything they can. But others say, no, this is scary. Where does it stop? Who's really overseeing any of this?
I think at this point, the Democrats have probably got to figure that their job is just to sit back and let the Republicans do whatever they want. Because if this continues, man, Hillary or whoever is just going to come in and just going to sweep everybody out in 08. I mean, it's just going to be a bloodbath.
I'll tell you what, 08 is a long way away, though, but 06 is definitely starting to get within reach for Democrats. They're starting to feel it, and you're absolutely right. You haven't heard many Democrats put down Michael Hayden at all. They're really letting the Republicans sweat this one out on their own. Of course, they're ready to kind of pounce on these NSA issues personally with Michael Hayden, but so far they really have not been on the firing line as far as he's concerned. They've let Republicans, as I said, really sweat it out on their own.
Oh, it's fantastic. And you know what? This is, not only this year, not only the midterms, but the 2008 again, it's coming up. All of this is just going to be the most brutal, vitriolic, mudslinging election ever. And I can't wait. I'm already rubbing my hands together with childlike glee. It's going to be fantastic. Lisa Goddard, thank you. You sound better, by the way.
I'm so much better. I'm definitely better. I was hurting earlier this week.
All right.
But I'm getting there.
Well, thank you. Well, continue to recuperate. We will talk to you soon, Lisa.
You got it.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard there, CNN radio correspondent, Washington, D.C. Good times. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, David Blaine will reportedly attempt his failed breath-holding stunt a second time.
No one cares!
But this time, he won't be in water. He'll just be standing on a street corner hoping somebody notices.
Well, hold breath for food.
When he passed out and became unconscious after 7 minutes, just 2 minutes short of the record, it wasn't long enough for permanent brain injury.
That's too bad. Somebody told me, by the way, and I don't know anything about anything, but somebody told me that he was sort of cheating anyway because he was breathing pure oxygen beforehand, and they said that breathing pure oxygen, it does some weird thing to your lungs where it allows, like it saturates you with oxygen, and so it may, and so then when you start holding your breath, all this oxygen is sort of has sort of been absorbed by your skin and your alveoli or whatever, and it just comes back. Anyway, they said that basically he was not doing it. He was not doing it straight up. He was sort of rigging the tables. And even then, he wasn't able to do it. No one cares. David Blaine is now officially on the no longer, because, you know, they do that hot and not list.
Yeah.
He is officially on the not list. People are beyond, and his hands look like Emperor Palpatine.
Meanwhile, Jessica Simpson denies claims she plans to adopt. According to published reports, they said that she did, but she revealed she has no intention of raising a child. She does enjoy contributing to Mexican orphanages, though.
Okay, thank you. And her sister is denying she had a nose job. She's not denying. She's not denying. She won't confirm. She wouldn't answer questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I would totally, I'd go with it. You got to address those head on. Somebody asks you if you have a nose job, you say, hell yes. And you say, did you see my nose before? Look at it now. Look how stunning I am. Because it turned out well. You only deny plastic surgery when it's gone badly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. If it's all gone in the toilet, that's when you just, I don't know. I just, slept on my face wrong. But when your plastic surgery has gone well, you just embrace it and you run forward with it. That's what I'd be doing if I was her.
Oprah Winfrey has earned a spot on Forbes' list of the most generous celebrities. They report that in 2005 alone, Winfrey's two nonprofit organizations donated $50 million to charity. That number includes $10 million that Winfrey personally gave to the victims of Hurricane Katrina. Also recognized for his generous spirit is Bono. The singer campaigned so much that he was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. He also co-founded a charity called Data and has participated in numerous fundraising concerts. Yeah. Other celebrities noted for their generosity include Sandra Bullock, Jessica Simpson, Angelina Jolie, Nicolas Cage, Jackie Chan, Celine Dion, Paul McCartney, and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
All right. Hey, listen to this, though. Songs about killing teachers. Rick, I totally sang these songs in school. I remember singing songs. Okay. Keep in mind, we are not advocating this sort of behavior. What we are doing here is we are analyzing sociological trends. This is a news hour, mm-hmm. and this is the public interest, convenience, and necessity.
So let the analysis begin.
That's what I'm saying. We are just broadcasting these just to be informative.
Well, it's a thinking man's program.
It really is. It's not like we're a Clear Channel show in New York. Rick, I totally sang these songs in school. I remember singing songs about beating teachers, shooting secretaries, and hanging the principal. And this was 15 years ago. Any properly mischievous boy has sung songs of this nature. Tim must have led a sheltered, boring childhood. Well, it did. We've talked about this before, but you had to wear the jacket, but you had full-length pants. They weren't short pants.
Right. Okay. Well, it's New England. You get hypothermia.
They're going to toughen you up. Get out there. Give me some sap from a tree. Did you have to get sap from a tree?
I did. I used to tap the trees in front of our house.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Now, I'm unclear, but when you get sap...
You get sap.
How is sap related to syrup?
Well, you boil it in a pot. You have to collect plenty of it. So if you get these huge pots, you'll get like a spoonful of maple syrup.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you collect lots and lots and lots of sap.
Uh-huh.
And then you... And so is syrup just sort of like a boiled reduction of sap? Do you add anything to sap?
No. You just boil it and it's fine.
It's all very fascinating. Rick, I can't spell and my BlackBerry has no spell check, by the way. Sorry if this is practically incomprehensible. Okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Teacher hit me with a ruler. Met her at the door with a loaded 44. That teacher won't teach no more.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly the song we sang. Where did you go to school? Oh, now he's gone. But he sounds like he was about my age. He didn't sound like he was a 20-something.
I think the NSA just cut that call off.
that's one of many. I will not sing others. But that's one of many songs we sang advocating the violent, homicidal dispatchment of teachers. Again,
we weren't allowed those thoughts.
Shouldn't do it. But I'm not advocating that those things be done in a real-life setting, but I do want to give an accurate depiction of the way things were when I was a boy. I don't have the when I was a I don't have the when I was a boy sounder, but at some point we'll start doing that.
We'll find one.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Ford Motor Company shareholders are expected to vote on a proposal today that would remove the phrase sexual orientation from the automaker's equal opportunity employment policy. Ford's attitude toward gays has created a lot of problems for the company. For instance, the American Family Association announced a boycott of all Ford products last month because the company is sponsoring a Detroit Gay Pride Festival. The organization is also trying to get Ford to stop advertising to gays.
Never mind. I don't want to talk about it. Never mind. No, it's like that. Who was that guy? It was Ed McCarthy. He was talking about one of those idiot Minutemen. And the Minuteman guy, Ed McCarthy, what's the problem? Minuteman guy, people who aren't like me. Jesus God. All right, speaking of Ed McCarthy, by the way, speaking of idiots and how they're taking over, yes. See, here's the thing. There's this liner that runs occasionally on the station. You may have heard it. It comes up every now and again. It is something, you know, how we know that it really isn't your imagination. You really are smarter than other people. And it's true. It's not just because you're listening to this station, although that is a big part of it. By dint of being a talk radio listener, it's not like talk radio makes you smarter, although it probably does.
Simply, it does.
What's that?
It does.
Well, it's not just that we're making you smarter. It's also that every minute you are listening to this station or this program and this show is like a minute that you're not... It's a minute you're not sitting there listening to some terrible, like, Rupert Holmes song somewhere. You know what I mean? But also, every study in the known universe says that people who listen to talk radio tend to be smarter, better educated, and even if they haven't gotten a lot of formal education, their IQs are higher than people who listen to, you know, take your pick. All I'm saying is, it's not your imagination when you look around you, and I know you do. I know you do this. Everybody within the sound of my voice does this. The people in this room do this. I do this.
Do what?
When you look around, like, do you ever just, you're like at a supermarket, or a shopping mall, or movie theaters. Movie theaters are the worst. When you look around, and you're just like, these people are goddamned idiots. Look at how dumb everyone around me is.
Mindless popcorn eaters.
Look at these moronic mouth breathers. I am so much smarter than everybody else in this room. And I know you do that. And you are right to do it. You are better than and smarter than other people. So it is not just that you are smarter. It is that the rest of the country is actively and demonstrably and noticeably becoming stupider by the minute. Listen to this. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy about this. The Gwinnett County School Board in Georgia expected to decide today whether Harry Potter books will be removed from all schools in the district. One woman is pushing for the series to be pulled from school libraries because the books teach children demonic ways. So we'll talk to Ed McCarthy about that later on. Whole world full of gum chewers. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Let's go to Florida, shall we?
Oh, I'm sorry. Speaking of...
FLA.
I should have anticipated that. Mm-hmm. Let's go down to our favorite. There you go. Thank you.
An elderly woman was bitten by an alligator while working in her backyard, but beat the animal, or the reptile, I should say, with a garden hose. Constance Giddles of Punta Gorda...
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Constance Giddles.
Was watering her plants when a nearly six-foot-long gator bit her leg just above the ankle. Giddles received three puncture wounds... and some smaller scrapes and abrasions for a confrontation with the gator. The trapped animal, wildlife officials were called in, and it got caught. It will be killed, and the hide sold for meat. But here's the other part from Local 6. It's a little survey. Which of the following Florida animals scare you the most? And on the list is roaches.
Well, the roaches in roaches in Florida are not like roaches in the rest of America.
So they're animals there.
No, roaches, they're not like those Venezuelan roaches where they're like 5 feet long. Mm-hmm. But I mean, roaches in Florida, they've all banded together somehow. They've unionized, and they are plotting to overthrow humans down there. Listen, Local 6 is just, this is not where Richard Nunn works, but it really should be.
No.
It really is.
We should work at Local 6.
They should be hired or syndicating this and carrying the show right now. Yeah, they have this little, this is a story we pulled from the web about this elderly woman, Constance Giddles, mm-hmm. who looks like a man, by the way. Doesn't that look like a man?
Yeah.
All right, Constance Giddles is a man, baby. Constance Giddles is a fantastic name. That's like that, what was that?
That
woman,
couldn't be anything but a man.
Was that woman Holly Huckabee, or whatever the hell her name was? But here there's a web survey. Yes, which of the following Florida animals scares you the most? Alligators, sharks, snakes, spiders. Maybe you should move. Maybe you're living
How
in the
big are those spiders?
Maybe this is Jesus' way of telling you you've picked the wrong state to
pull
live in.
Pull you into a swamp. Jesus. All right. I think everything in Florida pulls you into a swamp, doesn't it?
That's like the top three causes of death. Cancer, heart disease, creatures pulling you into a swamp and dismembering you. All right, here's Tim Riley.
It's a tap of the Geek Watch.
Here's your Geek Watch.
This high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar Dilemma, remember you used to...
Just a television show. That's all, okay?
Right, but... Because we were wondering if the quantum flux... Now, just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship. You got it?
Energize.
All right, does the Geek Watch contain any of the following words? Pentium, E3, Halo, Xbox, Vegas, Futurama, Lucas, any of these?
One of them.
Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
George Lucas is looking for a lot more than just fortune and glory these days.
He's looking to make quality films, little tiny art films.
Contrary to how Hollywood usually hypes its blockbusters, the writer/producer says Indiana Jones' next adventure actually won't be any louder, bigger, or faster than the last one. In fact, if Lucas gets his way...
It's just going to be Indy sitting in an urn somewhere.
Hint, he usually does. The Jones sequel will prize dialogue over decibels. I think Tom Cruise proved that people are getting bored with that kind of stuff. What they want to see is something different. And Indiana Jones, if nothing else, is always different. And Lucas is, if nothing else, reliably vague. He's not yet ready to give up the treasure trove of what lurks in the plot for the first Indiana Jones movie since 1989.
1989?
Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
17 years ago since that movie came out?
Mm-hmm. Well, he says the script is finally done.
It's not done!
And the flick will start probably shooting next year.
It's not! Quit lying! Oh, I swear to God, George Lucas. I swear to God. I'm not going to do... I will not do a whole Enemy of the People segment on George Lucas. Not today.
No.
But I swear to God, someday I'm going to find out where you live. Someday I will find out where you sleep. And you and I are going to have a long conversation about this. Quit First of all, when I say that the script for the next Indiana Jones film isn't done, I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean by done. I know that he's had like 5 completed versions of the script submitted to him. Frank Darabont, who's the guy who did the Shawshank Redemption, he's the guy who did the Green Mile, I mean, that's he's clearly a hack, though. You don't want that guy who made one of the finest films of all time working on the Indiana Jones franchise. No. What would you possibly be thinking? So this is what happens. So Frank Darabont, who did The Shawshank Redemption, writes, finishes, polishes, completes. It's done. It's sealed. It's a lock. It's in the bag. He gives the script to Lucas. Lucas, well, I don't think that's going to work. I think I better take it and rewrite it myself so all the dialogue can be stilted and completely unbelievable and unreal and unlifelike. I mean, I guess it wasn't wooden enough. So he started giving it a once-over. How many? This is like 9 years in a row we've been hearing that the next Indiana Jones film is going to start filming next year. Quit it!
We're working on it. We're working on it.
They're not working on it. Nothing is being worked on.
We've been working on it for 10 years. I think it's a great film, but it's completely different. It's got a lot of action and very, very funny. I think it works like crazy.
It doesn't. It would have to exist. Somebody's begging to be beaten with a shovel.
Oh, he added he's still working on his Star Wars 3D theatrical project as well, but when asked when it might come out, he laughs. I don't know.
Stop it! Stop it! Stop it for the love of God. Tell me he goes on to pimp the original trilogy, which he claims that he never wanted to put out.
Oh, until then, he says he's curious to see what the reception will be for the upcoming limited edition DVD release of the three original Star Wars films. See the original Star Wars films finally come to DVD, but not for long, article. It's just the original version, as they were. We didn't do anything at all. We're not sure how many people will want that anyway.
Okay. There you go, there's your geek one.
By Grafthar's hammer, by the sons of Warband, I shall avenge you.
Next. Oh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Let's move on.
Meanwhile, Vladimir Putin offering Russian couples cash to have more children to halt a dramatic decline of population and call for a stronger army in the key speech in which he shrugged off sharp attacks by Washington. Putin defying predictions that he would focus on foreign policy, zeroed in on Russia's dwindling population, an issue with huge implications for the economy, which is falling by 700,000 people a year.
Imagine being some kid, you're some spirit floating around up in heaven, you're in that big, because I figure that up in heaven, if there is such a place, and if there are spirits that are sort of, roaming around up there, and it doesn't matter whether you believe in the incarnation or you believe in just whatever, I don't know. But I gotta figure, if any such thing like that exists, here's what it is that basically all the souls are just up in heaven in a big, like, gumball machine. And it's just luck of the draw, man. It's like you know, 1 second earlier or 1 second later, you know, you might be born, to the Simpson family. You might be born in Swaziland. It doesn't matter. Imagine just, you know, you're up there. You're with Jesus. You're floating around. Everything is perfect. You have infinite knowledge of the universe. All things are possible. You are able to see the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. All the mysteries of the cosmos are known to you. And then just at the wrong moment, some couple in Russia has sex because Vladimir Putin decides that they should. And suddenly you're living in a box and, eating water that tastes like dirt.
Well, here's the proposal. He will give Russian couples more than 1,500 rubles, which comes out to $55.39, for the first baby, then double it to 3,000 rubles for a second. The average wages in Russia are below $100 a week.
So you get $100 for having two children in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Seems like you could just buy that, use that $100, just buy yourself a gun. Just end it all.
Many people have already done that.
End it all.
You don't even have to buy the gun. Just stand outside for about 5 minutes. Somebody will drive by and take care of that.
And just try it again. Try coming back somebody better in a different country in a different time, all right? If you're born in Russia, let me encourage you right now. If you're born in Russia, just stop eating for a while and everything will sort of work itself out and you can come back and try it again. It's just like going to the end of the line. You know what I mean? It's like when you're playing Minesweeper and you just work yourself into a real bad quarter. You're playing solitaire and you realize there's only 51 cards in the deck. Just reshuffle and start again. It's not going to work out well for you.
Meanwhile, Singular Wireless pulled a ringtone from its website after learning it carried a message the company called blatantly offensive. The Atlanta-based cell phone company became aware of the ringtone, which uses mixed English and Spanish and threatens deportation after an inquiry from a reporter for the Brownsville Herald. The newspaper reported on its online edition that the ringtone started with a siren, followed by a male voice saying in a southern drawl, "This is La Migra, a slang term for Border Patrol. Por favor, put the oranges down and step away from the cell phone. I repito, put the oranges down and step away from the cell phono. I'm deporting you back homo."
I don't understand. Who was the target market for this ringtone?
Probably people live in the South, I would imagine.
Why would... Okay. Do we have sound on this?
No. I looked.
Why would Singular be selling such a ringtone in the first place?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, if somebody has that, send that our way. All right.
Somebody has to have it somewhere.
Give it to that guy who was at the, give it to that DJ in New York for Clear Channel. Sounds like the sort of thing he'd love. Let's do one more and then we'll break here.
Torrington, Connecticut's 23-year-old mayor took down his profile on MySpace.com after his occupation ended up reading Male Bigelow. Ryan Bingham said he didn't post that information in a pair of reference to the 1999 movie Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, but he didn't know who did. He set up his page in October, about a month before he's elected to office, so he could keep in contact with friends and college classmates. I set up with my birthday, my age, some likes, dislikes, innocent stuff, maybe a total of 100 words. I don't know what happened, but somebody went in there and changed my occupation. It could have been anyone. MySpace is a social networking hub for more than 72 million youngsters. Allows users to post searchable profiles and communicate with people that allow them into their network.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, we're done. Thank you.
You're welcome.
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970.
People are calling because you made such a fuss about the George Lucas thing. They're calling to see if your head's still on straight.
I just... Who is this?
I don't know, some lady.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Oh, it's just Diana.
Hi, Diana. How can I... Diana from downtown. How can I help you, Diana?
Well, I just wanted to make sure you're okay and had suffered a cerebral vascular...
How long does it take to make an Indiana Jones film? It's been 17 years. He's had the script given to him in completed form like 15 times.
Oh, well, yes, that is most aggravating. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about
what is Harrison Ford doing?
Your health.
What, does he need time to make Air Force One, two? Is that it? Huh? Jesus God. In the name of all that is holy on this sweet planet of ours, what is Harrison Ford doing that's so important? What is occupying everybody's time so much?
Okay. Have you seen him the last time in the movie without a shirt?
No one has.
Stop yelling! You're
sorry.
Making me want to kill myself.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Stop!
When is the last time Harrison Ford made a good film? Everybody, go.
What Lies Beneath?
American Graffiti.
What Lies Beneath? Who are you?
I don't know.
No.
We'll just stop talking about it.
I'm just saying, seriously, I'll give a dollar right now to the first person who can come up with a good film made by Harrison Ford in the last 10 years.
Oh, did he play the president on the plane that got hijacked?
Yeah, but that's a terrible... Get off my plane. It's a terrible film.
That's a great trailer.
It's the worst film ever.
Well, it's a bad movie, but a great trailer.
All right. Thank you, Diana.
Please take care.
All right, I'm doing my best. Harrison, I'm busy with other projects. You're not! You're not busy with anything. The love of sweet Jesus. All right. What else do I have here? I got some horrific injury stories we'll get to. Now, this one, I got this injury story, which is actually local. It's actually local, and then we got another one that's not, but involves a power drill. And, let's see what else. And then we got Rick. Rick, did you say that you guys are going to Safeco Field? Why are you doing that? No, we didn't. We went to Safeco Field. What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've got that and other things. I'll take a break here. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're coming back. Coming up later on, Ed McCarthy's going to be here, Jen Lane, and so forth. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. You stay there. We'll be back. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. Oh, anyway. I never thought about it.